الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers and viewers of Madini channel, there are many excellences of reciting Salat ala Nabi. Peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, it's reported that when Salat ala Nabi is recited in a gathering, in a majlis, what happens? A fragrance, a beautiful smell, a fragrant smell emanates from that gathering, rises from that gathering until it reaches the heights of the skies. Now, when it reaches the heights of the skies, the malaika muqarrabin, the close angels, the ones that have proximity, who are stationed there, end of the heavens, end of the skies, they sense this fragrance that is coming from the earth. And you know what they say? They say that this is a fragrance which is coming from a majlis, a gathering in which salat has been recited upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, if we recite Durood Sharif on the earth, then subhanallah, the fragrance that emits because of that recitation reaches the heavens, the skies, and the angels sense that smell and they say, this is the fragrance which is coming from a gathering in which salutations, peace and blessings have been sent upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Now imagine, this is the maqam, this is the rank of reciting Salat ala Nabi, that a fragrance emanates. What will the one who recites gain from reciting Durood Sharif then? What do you think he will gain? Subhanallah, won't his life become mu'attar and fragrant as well? Insha'Allah al-Aziz, it will. Allah Jalla wa Ala enable us to frequently make this fragrance arise from the earth and reach the heavens so that the angels sense this, insha'Allah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So there are many blessings of reciting Salat ala al-Nabi, may Allah give us tawfiq to do so. Now before I begin the speech, make good intentions. It's the day of Friday, deeds are multiplied 70-fold as well. So make the intention that you're going to listen to the bayan for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will avoid all forms of distraction, taking out your phone, looking at messages, etc. Whatever you learn, make an intention to firmly act upon it yourself and to spread it to others as well. And like this, whenever you do any permissible act, any permissible action, ensure that you perform good intentions rather before that good deed, inshallah. Let us begin the speech. The Quran is a living miracle of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the other miracles we were not privileged or honored to see. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam split the moon in two. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quenched the thirst of his Sahaba by making water gush forth from his blessed fingers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he granted shifa with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to many companions. He placed his blessed saliva on the eye of Sayyidina Ali. He placed Qatada radiyallahu anhu's eye back in its socket. And like this, there are so many miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which we read about, which we hear about, but we did not physically see. But alhamdulillah, the Quran, the noble Quran, the final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is that miracle, this is that mu'jiza of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which alhamdulillah, more than 1400 years later, after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, we not only see the Quran, we read the Quran, we act upon the Quran as well. So the Quran, this is a guidance for all mankind. The Quran, this was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He bore the revelation, this intense revelation descended upon his heart. He withstood that, subhanallah, with the will of Allah azza wa jal. He taught the Quran to his Sahaba. The Sahaba taught the Tabi'een. The Tabi'een taught the Atba'u Tabi'een. And like this, alhamdulillah, throughout the ages, Muslims have been learning and studying, teaching about the Quran. And it's necessary for us. Now this book of guidance, this book that is a guidance for all mankind, do you know that this book has many rights upon us as well? Yes, the Quran has many rights upon us. Now inshallah, in this short bayan, I will discuss those rights of the Quran upon us as explained by the ulama of Islam. So to begin, the first and foremost right, the basic right of the Quran, is to believe in it, is to embrace faith in it. One cannot be a believer if he does not believe in the Quran. He can't be a Muslim or a mu'min. He could say that he believes in Allah, he could say that he believes in the Rusul, messengers alayhi salam that was sent. He could say that he believes in the Akhirah. He could say that he believes in destiny, the good of it, the bad of it, all of the tenets of faith. But if he rejects Al-Quran Al-Kareem, he cannot be a Muslim. He does not even enter the folds of Islam. So the first right of the Quran, as explained by the ulama, is that we wholeheartedly believe in the Quran. Now what does it mean, believing in the Quran? With the previous scriptures, the Torah, the Injil, the Torah, the Bible, the Psalms, the other scriptures that were revealed to Anbiya alayhi salam, our aqidah is that we must believe in them ijmalan. Ijmalan means what? The ulama explained that ijmalan means that those books were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever of them was in fact revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in. So we believe in the Torah, the Injil, the Psalms, whatever was munazzal min Allah, whatever was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for the distortions, as for the tamperings of those books, people added to them, then what is our aqeedah regarding that? Our aqeedah is that anything that was added, anything that was distorted, tampered in those books, the Injil, the Torah, all of that we reject. As for the Quran, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, our aqeedah is that we believe in it tafseelan. Tafseelan detailed, this means that from Surah Fatiha, Alhamd Sharif, all the way to An-Nas, we believe in everything contained within Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And we know as believers that no distortion or tampering took place or will ever take place in the Quran. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed that He will protect Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the divine speech. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, indeed we revealed the remembrance, meaning Al-Quran, and we will protect it. Now this particular guarantee wasn't given for any other scripture, and hence the people changed it. But Al-Quran, not even one single diacritical mark has been added or removed, let alone a full ayah of the Quran. So we believe the Quran in its entirety is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no distortions, no tamperings were made in the Quran. So this is the first belief, the first right rather of the Quran, that we must wholeheartedly believe in it. And secondly, adding to this, we must avoid all forms of disrespect of the Quran. If we read an ayah we don't understand, or because of our lack of intelligence, we don't understand its purport, how it relates to us as believers, we don't reject it. We go to the ulama and we ask them, what does this mean? O scholar of the deen, what does this verse mean? What is this in relation to? How does it apply to me as a believer, etc.? This is our job. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go to the people of remembrance if you do not know. The people of remembrance here in this verse refers to the ulama of Islam. Now let me give you an account of a person who, ma'azallah, fell very short in this regard. And he disrespected Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. He did not honor and revere the Qur'an. One ruler from the Banu Umayyah was called Walid bin Yazid. And he was such a tyrant, such a bad person, such an evil person, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding him, prophesied and said, there will be a man in my ummah named Walid who will be more rebellious than Fir'aun, Pharaoh. Allahu Akbar. Who said this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Once what happened? This tyrant, this so-called ruler Walid, he tried to take an omen from the Quran. But the ulama say it's impermissible, we shouldn't do that, take omens from the Quran. Why? Because the whole Quran is guidance for people. So what he did was he opened the Quran and the verse that he happened to land on or he happened to see was this particular verse of Surah Ibrahim, verse 15, خَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ, that every stubborn tyrant ended up being unsuccessful. I can imagine him, arrogant, boastful, full of pride, tyrant, oppressive ruler. When he saw that, and it was about him, he became so angry, and in a rage, you know what he said? Ma'adallah, he began to say derogatory remarks against the Quran. He said, do you admonish me and call me stubborn? And what else did he do? He grabbed the Quran, he took the Quran that was in front of him and threw it on the floor. Ma'adallah, summa ma'adallah. And he said, do you admonish the stubborn and the tyrant? And then he acknowledged that. He said, yes, I am stubborn and tyrant. Ma'adallah. When you are presented to Allah Almighty on the Day of Judgment, then mention what Walid did to you. Astaghfirullah. Can you get a worse crime than that? And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this person, Walid, in my ummah, will be worse than Fir'aun. And this is what he did to the Quran. He disrespected it. He threw it on the floor. And we know this is tantamount, or this is equivalent to kufr disbelief. So, this is very, very important to respect the Quran. What happened to him? What was his outcome? Just a few days later, there was a revolt, there was an uprising, and this very person, Walid bin Yazid, was beheaded. And you know who was behind this? His own nephew. His own cousin, rather, his uncle's son. His uncle's son revolted against him and said, I'll give you money if you bring me his head. His head was brought. It was placed in his own palace for a few days for people to see, and then in the middle of the road. So we learn from this that those who disrespect the Quran, those who dishonor the Quran, then this is their outcome, this is their anjam, this is what happens to them in the end. So the first right of the Quran was to believe in the Quran wholeheartedly. Belief entails respecting, honoring, revering the Quran as well. What's the second right of the Quran? Loving the Quran. Love and respect for the Quran should be in our heart. Subhanallah, in this regard, let me tell you a hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much he loved the noble Quran. It's mentioned here, and this is in Ibn Majah, that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his home, but he heard the recitation of the Quran. Such a beautiful recitation of the Quran was taking place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his home, listened to the recitation outside, and then came back. And when he came back, he said that was Salim, the slave of Abu Hudayfa. Then he mentioned who was reciting the Quran. He said that was Salim, the slave of Abu Hudayfa. And listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said. All praise to Allah Almighty who has placed such a man in my ummah. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted this ummah such a man. He recites the Quran so beautifully. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love for the Quran led him to leaving his own home and going and listening to the recitation of the Quran. Now what is our state today? Do we make time for listening to the Quran? Or is it the case, ma'adallah, that whenever we see a post on social media or anywhere else, we scroll past as soon as the recitation of the Quran comes up, or a verse of the Quran comes up. We're so busy watching something else that we don't have time to listen to a short clip, one clip, two clip of verses of 2 minute clip of recitation of the Quran. So this is something that we have to question our own self. This is how we will judge what state our heart is in regards to the Quran. So here the Prophet ﷺ left his own home and he went outside to listen to the recitation of the Quran, came back and he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Allah has blessed us with such a man in this ummah. Salim, the slave of Abu Huzaifa, who recites the Quran so beautifully. Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullahi alayh, a great leader of the past, Muslim ruler. In regards to him, it's mentioned that somebody saw him in a dream after he passed away. And he said, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? And he replied that once I was a guest somewhere, and in the room I was supposed to stay, there was a Quran on the shelf. And that Quran happened to be parallel to my feet. Above, but in line with the feet. At first I thought I should ask someone to come to take the Quran and move it elsewhere. And this is a good intention of his. But then he said, I thought to myself, because of my own self, my own comfort, I'm going to have someone come in, take the Quran and place it elsewhere. Why? He says, I changed my intention. And that night in that room, I did not sleep with my legs stretched out. In fact, he says that I did not place my feet in its direction the entire night, and I sat there just for the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he sat there, why? Because the Quran was in front of him. If he were to sleep or lie down and stretch his feet out towards the Quran, disrespectful. And he didn't make someone come and take the Quran away as well. The whole night, Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullahi alayh, he says, I sat there the whole night. Because of this act of mine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me forgiveness because of this reverence that I showed towards the Holy Quran. And this is what we need to adopt as well, this manner. We need to emulate as well. We need to respect the Quran in all ways, in all forms as well. Whether someone reciting the Quran in our homes, we shouldn't turn our back towards the Quran. Similarly, in a situation like this, we should try and avoid all forms of disrespect. Look what it led to. It led to the forgiveness of Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullahi alayh. So that was the second right, loving the Quran. The first right was believing in the Quran. Second right, loving and respecting the Quran. The third right of the Quran, as mentioned by the ulama, is acting upon the Quran. Now imagine, there is a king and he constantly writes letters to you. He writes letters to you and it's specifically for you. This message is for you. You read those letters and then what do? You put the letter away and you don't bother acting upon the instructions given in the letter. Do you think that king will be pleased with you or not? Of course he will. Because if he is giving you hukam, ahkam, commands to follow in your life, and you're not following them, how is it going to be happening? Now without comparison, Al-Quran Al-Kareem is full of ahkamat, full of commands, prohibitions, rulings, instructions, divine instructions. We recite it, and we say we recited the whole Quran in Ramadan Kareem. And some are honored to recite it outside of Ramadan as well, we should all strive to. There shouldn't be a single day where we don't recite the Quran. But reciting the Quran is one thing. Yes, it's an excellence, it's a virtue, it's fadila. What about acting upon the Quran? How many blessings will you attain by actually acting upon the Quran? And how distant will you become by not acting upon the Quran? So the Quran is there, first and foremost, as a book of guidance. If you don't know what guidance it contains or what it's telling you, how are you going to act upon it? How are you going to implement its rulings in your life? And when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha summed up his life so beautifully. She was asked, what was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like? And you know what she replied? Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. You ask about the character of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, his character was the Qur'an. Meaning, he was an embodiment, an epitome of the teachings of the Qur'an. Anything you find in the Qur'an, any command you will see in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning nobody acted upon the Qur'an to a greater level or extent than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qur'an was revealed upon his blessed heart. And he is the one who taught the Qur'an ahead. So the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like the Qur'an. He knew the Qur'an, he studied the Qur'an, he understood the Qur'an. He taught the Sahaba, Sahaba taught the later generations. Today, we should be learning the tafaseer of the Qur'an, the commentary of the Qur'an, the explanation of the Qur'an so that we can implement it in our lives. And our character too can be the Qur'an, inshaAllah. Another haqq, another right of the Qur'an is that we recite it. We must recite the Qur'an. As I touched upon a few moments ago, that reciting the Qur'an in Ramadan Kareem is an immense virtue. And we all strive to do so. What happens every year, people say that Alhamdulillah managed to finish one Qur'an in Ramadan. Some people finish more than one. But where does it say that outside of Ramadan you are not to recite the Qur'an? The Qur'an is there to be recited every day of the year. Whenever you have chance to recite it, you should do so. Just like whenever we have a chance to scroll on social media, go on our social media accounts, we make the most of it. We go on our accounts. When we go on messages to our family, friends, relatives, calls every day. Some people make calls for hours on end every day and they don't miss that routine. But what about recitation of the Qur'an? This is an excuse that we can perhaps say to the people, I don't get time, but can we use that excuse in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. So recitation of the Qur'an is very, very important. Let's listen to a few blessings of reciting the Qur'an. We have been encouraged as Muslims to recite Qur'an morning and evening, day and night. Reciting the Qur'an is a superior act of worship. One receives 10 deeds for reciting a single letter of the Qur'an. Mercy descends when the Qur'an is recited. The angels give shade with their wings and tranquility descends. Subhanallah. So these are taken from ahadith. The angels make dua of mercy until evening for the one who finishes the Qur'an in the morning and until the morning for the one who completes it in the evening. On the Day of Judgment, the Qur'an shall intercede for those who recited it. Subhanallah. Imagine that. On the Day of Judgment, when we're in dire need of shafa'at intercession, the Qur'an comes and intercedes for us. What more can we ask for? Subhanallah. The reciter of the Qur'an will ascend through the ranks of paradise whilst reciting the Qur'an. The reciter of the Qur'an is the flag bearer of Islam. This is in Musnadul Firdaus. The reciter of the Qur'an is the distinguished servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who recites the Qur'an will remain safeguarded from divine punishment. Through the blessings of reciting the Qur'an, a person advances and attains high ranks. These were just a few ahadith, a summary of a few ahadith. And in reality, there are countless ahadith in regards to recitation of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. So we should try and recite it. And reciting it is, of course, with tajweed. This is a requirement, this is a requisite that when we recite the Qur'an, especially those who are non-Arabs, ajami, then we have to strive day and night to learn the recitation of the Qur'an, pronunciation of the Qur'an. Each letter has its own origin, where it's supposed to be pronounced from in the mouth. If we're reciting incorrectly all our lives, then what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? There are many reciters of the Qur'an whom the Qur'an curses. And here, I want to explain those people who recite it incorrectly. Because remember, the Arabic language is so sensitive in that if you change a letter here or there, especially those letters which are qareeb as-sawt, they sound similar, the origins are similar as well. If you were to change a letter, you may end up changing the meaning of the Qur'an. And if you change the meaning of the Qur'an, how can you expect reward? How can you expect blessings? And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, many reciters of the Qur'an are cursed by the Qur'an itself. That's why it's very, very important. When you recite the Qur'an, recite it with tajweed. And for tajweed, you have to learn. With knowledge, you have to know. Al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, knowledge comes through learning. Anything in life, you want to attain it, you have to strive for it as well. So that was another rite of the Quran that we must recite it. I'm just concluding here. The fifth and sixth rites are understanding the Quran and spreading the message of the Quran. Understanding here means with the commentary, with the tafsir. So a verse of the Quran, you may read the translation and assume that it means this or it means that. But what it actually means, the ulama have explained in tafsir. So there are many stages of tafsir. So tafsir al-Quran bil-Quran. First, the ulama look at a verse of the Quran. Has it been explained or clarified by another verse of the Quran? Or is there explanation for it in hadith, tafsir al-Quran bil-Hadith? So there's so many stages that the ulama go through. And what is haram is for a believer, tafsir bil-Ra'i. And to say, I assume, I think this verse means this, or that verse alludes to that. And here the ulama said, you have to be very careful. You have to read the tafsir, commentaries that have been written upon the Quran to understand it fully. And the sixth right, spreading the message of the Quran. Now you might think, how do I spread the message of the Quran? Alhamdulillah, I'll give you a solution to that. Dawat Islami, a global organization, which is for the purpose of spreading Quran and Sunnah. And there are so many possibilities, so many opportunities to learn the Quran. For example, Madrasatul Madina Balighan for elders. And then to teach the Quran as well. When you teach someone the Quran, subhanallah, that person, whenever he is going to recite the Quran correctly throughout his life, you will get the reward for teaching. Similarly, when Madani Qasila travel from city to city, country to country, continent to continent, brothers alhamdulillah go out and they propagate the teachings of the Quran, the meanings of the Quran, correct recitation of the Quran. So a humble request, affiliate yourself with Dawat Islami so that you can fulfill this right of propagating and spreading the message of the Quran as well. So these were a few rites of the Quran that we should embed in our hearts, and we should know that believing in the Quran, loving the Quran, reciting the Quran, understanding the Quran, spreading the Quran, all of these things we must do. All of these things, acting upon the Quran. If you're reciting it day and night, but you're neglecting the teachings of the Quran, then what purpose will that serve? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you account for that. Al-Quran wa hujjatun laka aw alayk. The Quran is either a proof for you or against you. Which one do we want it to be? Of course, we want it to be a proof for us and not against us. And that is why we must learn the Quran properly with understanding and implement it in our lives and teach it to others as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all devotees of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to spend our days and nights learning about the Quran, reading the Quran and implementing it in our lives as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.